Over to Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10, and we'll see what the psalmist has to say here. And I think we can get from the first couple verses here, we'll get our idea of what the psalmist was talking about and what he was complaining to the Lord about. I tell you, what we should probably do is we'll just read the entire chapter first, and then we're going to come back here and take a look at the verses. We're talking about the wicked, and we have there's several things to be said here. Let's read Psalms chapter 10, beginning verse 1. It says, "Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, I hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out the wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. Heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress." Now, what we find here is a plea to God to answer a prayer for deliverance from the wicked. And we don't have to look very far to see what is wicked in our land today, in our world today. There is wickedness on all sides of us. And it's very easy for us to see. It's not just something that we have to in contact with a whole lot of other people. It's very easy anymore with the technology and things that we have today that we can see what's going on by turning on the television or the computer or even on your phone and watching the things as they unfold, stories and things that we see on news channels. But I tell you what, if you want to live in anxiety and heartbreak and be depressed all the time, then just live in the news. I like the news. Of course, we watch Fox News, and there's also Newsmax. Thank another station that or another organization that's come up to give the conservative point of view, and that's what we like to see. But there's a lot of wickedness in all of that, even in all of that. But here the psalmist in verse 1, he's complaining to the Lord. Is God interested? What is the plight of the righteous, of God's people? What's the plight? They're oppressed. They're oppressed. And we see that on all sides. When people are trying to do that which is right, which is trying to, even in some things that I was talking about, the stories that we see on the news, even people trying to keep them from teaching our children gender, messed up ideas about gender and things to our kindergartners and things. What's wrong with people? Well, they're wicked. They're wicked. And there's some people try to stand up and do what's right and what's morally and ethically right, and they get trampled. They get trodden down because of there's many wicked people in the world that do not want what's right. We're going to see in this chapter that there's two things that characterize the wicked, and I think you've already seen them: pride and boasting. I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah, I believe. I didn't look it up, but I do know that there are six things that God hates. I'm not sure that it's in Jeremiah, but I know I have read it several times. But one of the first things that God hates is a proud look, a lying tongue, a proud look. And God hates boasters. But you look around in the world today, who are the wicked? Who is it that we're talking about? People that you look at them, you watch them, of course, like I said, again, on television and stuff, you see the people that are proud boasters. It's not pleasing to God at all. In verse 2, it says, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor." Now, the poor here, it means those that depend on God. And if you don't believe what I'm saying there, if you think that that's not so, and this just hit me, if you look in Okay, here it was at the end of the chapter here. I just wish I had better glasses. Well, I'll come to it. I'll come back to that in a minute. But it hit me as we were reading it, it is the poor here in verse 2. It means those that depend on God, seekers of God, seekers of that which is right, the ones that don't like what's going on in the wickedness of the world. And their oppressors are godless people. They don't have thoughts of God in their minds, in their hearts at all. The thoughts and imaginations of the wicked are only evil. Now, where did we hear that? If you look back in Genesis chapter 6, this is a verse that I've brought out before. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." This is way back then now. This is not, I mean, today we think that wickedness is pretty bad. But wickedness has always grown until God has had enough of it, and then he does something. What does he do? Well, in Noah's day, what did he do? He destroyed everything and everybody. But God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, you need to ask yourself, are the thoughts of my mind and the thoughts of my heart only evil continually? If that is so, then you're one of these that God's talking about in this 10th chapter of Psalms. You are one of the wicked. You are one of the evil. Men are made that way. We are born sinners, and we are drawn to sin. We are not drawn naturally to God. Our natural bend is towards sin, towards doing that which is wrong. Verse 3, it says, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The sinner proudly glories in his power and his success. They are without God, yet they prosper in material ways." You ever look at people like that and you say, wow, that guy's rich. Why can't I be rich? You know, what's the key to that? But they're wicked, and they don't have God in their thoughts at all, and yet they seem to be successful. They seem to be doing quite well, you would say. And I want to say this, that becoming wealthy is not a sign of God's blessing. Okay? Becoming wealthy is not a sign of God's blessing. But obeying the Lord, and by obeying the Lord, a man can be richly blessed, but that may not be materially. I have seen many Christians who are very rich, very rich people, and yet they did not have a whole lot of money. They were not rich in material goods, but they were rich in the things that matter. The things that matter to God. If you have a peaceable spirit, if you have a loving kindness that you show to others, that's a richness. That's a richness that you cannot put a monetary value on. And there are other riches that the Bible tells us about that they're without price. We find many of those in the New Testament. Verse 4, it says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Wicked people will not seek after God. I mean, sinners will not seek after God. It's a natural thing for people to go away from God. What is the first thing that Adam and Eve did as soon as they sinned, as soon as they did what was wrong? They hid themselves. Whereas before they didn't. It has to be a difference there, because otherwise the Bible wouldn't make that contrast. Adam and Eve, before they sinned, when they were still innocent, they had nothing to hide from God. And so God came to the garden, as was his means to do, and would meet with them. And they did not run away. Why? Because they had not sinned. But now after they sin, the first thing they do is they run and hide. And that is what men do. We do not seek after God. We do not, until he puts that in us, until he quickens our spirit and gives us the spirit of life in us, a new nature. That new nature seeks after God. But the old nature, it does not. It does not want anything to do with it. And so therefore, we are as much as along with the wicked. They live without prayer. And that is living without God. You know, the thoughts of a wicked man are mainly about himself. Not too many people in the world. You'll find some people may care and stuff, but is it really care? We have to think about that. You know, I think we had some discussion about that here just not too long ago, about when you do something good for somebody else, are you really doing something good for somebody else? out of the goodness of your heart and expecting nothing in return, not favor, not anything at all. I can tell you that I think men are much worse at that than women. I have noticed that women are nurturing and they give love to their children and stuff in a way that they're not expecting anything in return. Men, on the other hand, a lot of times what we do something for someone, maybe you donate to a charity or you do something that is seemingly a good act, but is it really always about any kind of expectation of anything coming back to you? So if it's not, it's not pure. It's not pure. And a wicked man thinks about himself. And what can he get for himself? What can he do for himself? And the truly wicked, that's all they think about. And their pride, they're lifted up. And, you know, I'm sorry, but my mind goes to the people that I see in our government. I see pride and arrogance there. No one wants to recognize God as God. And I mean, it doesn't matter if they don't recognize Him. He's still God, whether they recognize Him or not. But they're God seems to not be in any of their thoughts, just the same way that this scripture is reading. He's not at all in their thoughts at all. They never mention God. I don't see any of them mentioning God unless they use His name as a curse word. How sad. Because one day they're going to meet God. And they will know what their end will be. Verse 5 says, His ways are always grievous. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? And then it switches and says, Thy judgments, talking about God, are far above out of His sight. As for all His enemies, God's enemies, He puffeth at them. It's like, you just say, like that. That's God's enemies. I mean, with the breath of His nostrils, they blow them away. They are nothing to God. But they think that they really think that they're something. Their pride and their arrogance. But God is not relevant in the lives of wicked people because of their pride and their haughtiness makes them think that it is beneath them to be religious. You ever meet people like that? They feel like that it's beneath them. God's precepts are so far removed from the wicked that they can't understand them. They don't understand morality. You ever try to explain something to somebody and say, well, you know, the Bible says, and they're like, oh yeah, the Bible, okay. Well, this is the only thing that we have here really to show us what real morals and ethics come from. They come from God. They don't come from people. You know, from the very get-go, people were running away from God. They weren't trying to do what was right. So God's Word is what we have as a rule for our lives. But all their actions and their thoughts, think about this, all their actions and their thoughts are grievous. People of the world, people that are wicked, they're grievous, causing grief, not a happiness, not a happy people to be around. Verse 6 says, He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. This is where you want to be careful if you're following anybody that tells you that if you are a Christian, it'll be smooth sailing. That's not really what this is talking about, but there, in any Christian's life, there is going to be adversity. There's going to be trials. There's going to be things that's going to test. And what you do with those things is how you will be judged by God. So the best thing to do is to get close to Him. Whenever those things happen, seek God's face. That's what David did. In all of his, if you remember, in any time that he was in any kind of a circumstance that was very difficult for him, whether Saul was seeking his life or his own son was coming after him or many things that David had to face, what did he do? He sought God. And that's what we do. If we have trials and things that come into our lives, seek God. You know, the absence of immediate punishment upon wrongdoers is always a strong argument for a sinner whose values are in the world. If your values are in the world and you don't have anything to do with God, then you do things that are wrong and you don't see immediate punishment for it. It's like, okay, well, there's really not anything. There's not anything to be worried about. They think they'll always be happy. They think they'll always be, it'll always be go smoothly for them. They're in charge of their own life, their own destiny. But you know what? Things do go smooth. Think about it. Because when you're with the world, in the wide path that's headed for destruction, there is no opposition. All of it flows in the same direction. Jesus told us, he said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Broad is the gate and wide is the way. I'm just paraphrasing here. I'm not speaking. But that leads to destruction. So there's a lot of people heading down that. Not a whole lot of salmon trying to swim it upstream here when you're with the world and it's all going that direction. So, yeah, it seems like it's going to be a happy life, a happy wicked life. And no, it's not. It's not. We all know people who that led those kind of lives and had nothing but trouble. Verse 7 says, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. It always seems like the people of the world are ready with a curse, something to make somebody cringe, especially people that don't talk like that, don't listen to that kind of stuff, something to curse about. It's one of my pet peeves, if you will, that people in this day and age no longer can describe things with any kind of adjectives other than getting down to caveman talk, where they have to say curse words to this and that. And they have like a very small vocabulary of curse words, and it's just the inflection that they use with them to describe something. It's very low brow, if you will. It's very, there's no thinking or thoughts that have to be addressed to that. I want to say logic. That's not the word that I'm looking for, but there is no, I can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but it takes no brains to use the curse words for everything. So if that's something that affects you, well, think about that the next time that you're talking, and you know that it does, you don't have to do that. God's not happy with that. Because it here is describing the wicked, ready with a curse word. But deceit and fraud, always looking out to try to deceive someone, to commit fraud. How much fraud goes on in the world today? It's like we've become used to it, right? How many scam phone calls do you get a day? Or people trying to fraudulate if that's a word, you out of something. Try to get you to commit to giving them some money for something, to fraudulate you. I mean, why? Because they only live for themselves. And it says, under his tongue is mischief and vanity. What is vanity? Emptiness. Nothingness. And it does nothing constructive. It does nothing but nothing to build up. You know, the in the New Testament, there are many, many passages, especially writing, of how, building one another up. Especially in a church setting, in church members, to build one another up, to love one another, stuff so much better than this description. Verse 8 says, he sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places doth he murder the innocent, his eyes are privily set against the poor. One of the reasons why I hate cities, you know, cities may be a great place for you to live in and stuff, but I don't like them. I like the open country. But cities have a lot of places for people to hide. You think about it. Think about how many, and it doesn't have to just be TV shows. I'm talking about actually on the news and stuff where they show down a dark alley somewhere something happened. And usually somebody got killed or something happened, something bad. Or you can even watch it nowadays, people assaulting people right in the middle of the daytime. But they'll. What comes to mind when I read this is, I saw the picture of a guy comes up behind a man sitting waiting for a bus or the subway or something and just hauls off and clobbers him upside the head for no reason. Didn't even know the guy. There's an evil that's pervading a lot of people today. And getting into people's hearts, and I don't know where we're headed. Like Brother Bourne has preached before, the Holy Spirit is being taken bit by bit, is being taken away. The restraining of the Holy Spirit is being taken away, and people are becoming more and more evil. We're wondering what's happening to our country. That's it. People wanted to be away from God. Well, as God withdraws, you see what we have left. And that is a world of wickedness. But these people, they're lurking, they're hiding. Why? To take another unawares. The wicked like the element of surprise to deal a blow to the unsuspecting. To pick up on somebody and do something terrible. It's just wrong. We all know that that's wrong. But why do they do that? To have the upper hand? Maybe to rob them? Maybe to get vengeance or something on them? Or to, I don't know. I see people just attacking other people just out of the violence that's in their hearts. What? Do they get gratification out of that? That's wicked. It's wickedness. Verse 9 says, he lieth in wait secretly as a lion in a den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. It's like a lion that's crouching before it strikes. The net here being the trouble that the wicked is about to bring upon the unprepared, the poor. And like I said, the poor, when he's talking about here, are the ones that rely on God, that depend on God. What did Jesus talk about in the Beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because this can't be just talking about poor people. That's not what it's talking about. We always have poor people, but I've seen some poor people who are just as wicked as rich people. It's not about that because that you're poor and you don't have anything that God's on your side. Of course, being poor lends you what? Maybe more to relying on God because you don't have anything. You know, rich people rely on their riches, and therefore they don't rely on God. But this poor is talking about a different kind of people who rely on God. In verse 10 it says, "He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall into his strong ones." Now, when he says he humbleth himself, that doesn't mean he's humble as in being humble before God. This means humble being crouched down into a corner. You know, he makes himself smaller that he may fall by his strong, that they may be able to get the element of surprise, jump on somebody. "He has said in his heart," verse 11, "God hath forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it." In other words, let me go back to verse 10 here. It says, "The afflicted, the righteous, are crushed by the wicked." How many times do we hear of our forefathers, and I know that we have, being tortured, maimed, and killed for their stand for Christ? Think about that. So it's not just the time that David lived here, the time that the Psalms were written, the times of Israel, but there's been times right here in this country. We just go back a couple hundred years and we'll find that they were actually tortured here in the country. They were tortured by others in the name of religion, wickedly, and because of their stand for Christ. But you know what? The world's headed that way again. As I said before, watch it on the news. How many businesses have closed or been burned down because they wouldn't bow to the wicked demands of people, wicked people? And we've seen that. Bakers won't bake a cake for gay couples and things because they're taking a stand because of what they believe in the Bible. And what happens? Their place gets burned down. The smashed out. I just saw another one the other day. A coffee shop wanted to have people come in, have coffee with a cop, you know, a police officer, and they smashed the windows out because of this coffee shop wanting people to interact with the police officers in the town. I believe that was in Portland. It sounds to me like it's becoming a very, very wicked place. That's sad. That's sad. That's worse than sad. But it's showing the direction of the wickedness of this country. I don't think it's getting better. In verse 1, the wicked man says to himself, "God is forgotten." Or that God has abandoned these religious folks. God's forgotten them. He's no longer taking care of these people that say that they're his. God's forgotten them. Well, no, he hasn't. But they think that they're free to abuse and destroy. That seems to be today's slogan, doesn't it? Abuse and destroy. The violence that's going on in this country. It's appalling. And you know, one of the things that God hated was violence. The violence of people against each other. The violence of people against unborn children. God will not hold them guiltless. He has told us in His Word. Verse 12 says, "Arise, O Lord, God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble." Lift up thine hand. I want to say David, but the psalmist here, I think it's Isaiah. He calls on God to lift up his hand. What does that mean, to lift up your hand? That does not mean to ask a question of the teacher. Lift up your hand means to show your power and authority. Show your strength. God's strength, and avenge the righteous. And God will. There will be a recompense from God one day. And sometimes it is soon. P. People that are wicked and do things like they're doing today, their time is coming. Their time is coming. God is not one to not see. They say, they think that God does not see. God sees all. Verse 13, interesting verse here. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. It is foolish to assume that God will overlook sin. Go over in Romans real quick. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. We all know this verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Are we fools? We die. All men die. Why? Why do we die? Because it's the wages of sin. Because we are sinners, we die. Therefore, we must know that we are sinners. If we did not die, perhaps we could think the way that the world thinks. But we can't. We do die, and therefore we know that we are sinners. Verse 14 says, thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. I love the way that David writes these things, because it's like he's lamenting the first portion of this chapter of the wickedness of men and the terrible sins that they commit. But at the end, he turns to extol the Lord. He turns to give God glory and to show how that it's never going to be what the wicked think it's going to be. It's never going to be the way the evil people, the sinners of the world, think that it's going to end up. No, it's going to end up God's way. In the end, God will punish sinners. He will punish the wicked, and He will reward the righteous. And that doesn't mean that He holds up a balance and the good that we've done has outweighed the bad that we've done. Now, it's never wrong to do right. It's never right to do wrong. However, when we're talking about this, we're talking about the righteousness of the Lord, of Jesus. The righteousness that we obtain when we are saved, when He saves us and washes our sins from us through His blood and through His death on the cross. Verse 15 says, break thou the arm of the wicked man. Now, that you, as we talked about before, talking about God lifting, lift up thine arm, this is talking about strength. Break the arm of the wicked. It means break their strength. And the evil man, seek out his wickedness till thou find none. In other words, root it out. Like some of the kings do in the old times in Israel, they would root out, if you remember, some of them would cleanse the whole land of the Sodomites. Cleanse the land. They would either kill them or put them out of the country or whatever they did with them. I don't know. It just says they cleaned them out, and that's what it's talking about. Till there's none, till he find none. Verse 16 says, the Lord is King forever and ever. Amen. The heathen are perished out of his land. Wouldn't it be really nice if we lived in a land where there was no evil opposition to God? When people, men and women, could live peaceably with one another, and there was no violence, there was no threat of violence or fear of thieves breaking in to steal or hurt, maim, or anything like that. Wouldn't it be great to live in a land like that? The Lord is King forever and ever. Verse 17 says, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. God hears. God hears. Are you praying? Are you praying to the Lord and asking Him to help heal this land, to vanquish the oppressors, the wicked? We all have high hopes for this November that maybe we can oust a lot of these folks from our government. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about those things. I know we'll do what we are supposed to do. God has given us a great land where we are able to go out and vote. But these things are in God's hands. And whether we have the people that we like in charge or whether we don't, God is still in charge. God is still the God of this world. He has not given it to somebody else. He is king forever and ever, no matter what. But God hears the desire of the humble, prepares their hearts, and He can hear you. To judge the fatherless and the oppressed, the fatherless here is the privileged, and the oppressed, that the man of the earth or the wicked may no more oppress. One day, it will all be over, and there will be a judgment. And those that are wicked, those that hate God, the godless people, they will be judged. They will be sent into hell forever and ever. And probably one of the worst things, I talked to Brother Bourne about this the other day, I believe that the wicked will not see God. They will not lay their eyes upon His glory, the wondrous beauty of God. They will not see Him because they don't want to. They don't want anything to do with God. So all they will see is their everlasting punishment, misery, fear. And that's all they will get. They won't get to know the beauty and the wonder of God and see Him. And that's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. Well, that was what I came up here with, Psalms chapter 10. Some insights here about it. Probably much more. There's much more to be said about it. But this world is a wicked place. It's not a friend to God. It never has been. Even in David's time, even in our time. But we need to have our hearts and our minds, our thoughts upon God. Things that He has written in His Word to us and tell us to do. And with that, we will close. I'm going to...